just like we are, with all of our baggage, and to know that we are loved by you. Thank you that everybody, and we mean everybody, is welcome in the presence of God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that you prepare a table for us in the very presence of our enemies. And there's space for everyone at that table that is willing to enjoy a meal with you. And what we got this morning, Lord God, is the best thing that we could get from a menu, and that's living bread. The bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And thank you that what we got to drink, Lord God, is rivers and streams of new living water that flows from within us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we can just, if we let you, just push the busyness of life, the stuff of last year, the stuff of this morning, the stuff that we worried about for tomorrow and the week, we can just push all of that aside this morning and focus on you. Father, help us have dove's eyes. A dove can only focus on one thing at a time. May we have dove's eyes for you this morning and focus on you. Holy Spirit, take the words that we're going to read that's printed on pages or going to be on an electronic screen, and write them in the tablets of our heart. Give us supernatural understanding of it. And give us a rhema truth and understanding of what it means for us as individuals, where we are as we look at the scriptures this morning. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all the sons and daughters of the Most High God said, amen and amen. I want you to turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, to your left and to your right, and say, buckle up. This is going to get good. Hallelujah. It's good to see you folks back from being away. I know you've had lots of time holidaying and indulging in lots and lots of food. You've probably eaten and drank more than you should have, but I've got a good scriptural exercise for you to do. It's a New Testament exercise that you can do to help you just get rid of some excess weight. Are you ready? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Shake that fat till it's all gone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Shake that fat till it's all gone. Anybody wanting to do that this morning? Come on. Come on with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Shake that fat till it's all gone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Shake that fat till it's all gone. How many of you feel lighter this morning? Hallelujah. I'm excited to continue speaking about what we've been speaking about. I looked at it this morning for 16 weeks. It's important. The title has been the same, but the content and the topic has been so radically different, because the Word of God is alive. It's living and powerful, and it keeps giving you life when you make the time to listen to it. For 16 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' prayer in the garden in John 17. And the last time we looked at this, we spoke about what the importance of sanctification means and why Jesus Christ would want us to be sanctified. This week, we're going to look at the next two verses, and it's from John 17, verse 18 and 19. So if you want to follow on the overhead or on your Bible with me, please turn there. Let's have a look at that. We're going to unpack that in a few minutes and see what God has to say to us this morning. Hallelujah. All right, are we ready to rock and roll there at the back there, gents? Coming up, there we go. Jesus says, look at verse 18 and 19 this morning. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus says, as you've sent me into the world, I'm also sending them into the world. And then he says, for their sakes, I have sanctified myself so that they may be sanctified by the word of truth. We've already studied in depth in the past study what sanctification means. But this thing of being sent into the world like Jesus was sent into the world, let's just stop there, unpack, and visit at this concept for a moment. If we consider what the average modern day Christian considers Christian life to be like, the average modern day Christian thinks that Christianity is something that we take to add to our lives, to supplement what we already have. We have our ideas, we have our lifestyles, we have our dreams, our goals, our visions, and you take Christianity and you add it as a, I'm going to use these words this morning, a life improvement program. Think about that carefully. We take Christianity and think, okay, Christianity is going to improve my life the way I want it to be. Jesus' idea is radically, radically different. You see, Christianity is not a life improvement program, something that you add to your life. Christianity, listen carefully, this is the punchline for this morning. Christianity is about a life of sacrificial service in building the kingdom of God one heart at a time. The Christian life is about a life of sacrificial service, about bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. The best place to do that is through your local church. So how many of you know of any local church where they are desperately in need of your sacrificial service to go and bring the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom? Do any of you know of a local church like that, that would perhaps be desperately in need of your sacrificial service in bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom? You see, folks, Jesus was sent into the world to do what? To become famous, to get the most amount of likes on YouTube channels, to become the most popular topic of the day on social media, to have organizations named after Him, to have buildings erected in honor of His name. These are the reasons that Jesus came here for, right? Wrong. All of those lies and deceptions are what we know today as religion. Jesus did not come here to establish religion, my brother and sisters. When Jesus came here, religion was already here, and He kicked against it. He despised it, because religion is a system of man-made rules and regulations. Je kan nie, je moet nie, je mag nie, je moet so aantrek, je moet die dag aanbid, you've got to say this, you've got to do that. All of those laws and regulations was established man-made religion, which was already here before Jesus came, and He came to turn that all upside down and show us the way to the Father and the way to eternity is not through man-made religion, but through a living relationship with God Almighty, made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through a life of sacrificial service and laying down His life. That's what He came here for. How many of you have heard that now for the first time? Okay? Owen, good news. Now you've heard it, go and tell others about it, my boy. Go and tell others about it. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so that we could take up church membership and become part of an organization and goes out and makes more rules and regulations that people can't follow because they can't follow the ones that already exist. And in this prayer, now remember the backdrop. This is before Jesus is arrested. Out of everything that He could be praying for, He prays for this. Here He's praying for us. If you're at a place, my brother, my sister, where you this morning have gotten to a place in your life where in your heart, because of something that's happened in your spirit, and by means of a decision that you've made with your mind, you've gotten to a place where you said, I am now going to live for Jesus. And the Spirit of God transforms you from within, and you become what the Bible calls born again, and you're living that out. I don't want to say, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus, because we don't even see that in the Scripture. What that actually means is that you repent and believe. When you repent, that means you stop your nonsense and you believe in the death resurrection of Jesus, your spirit is born again. If that's you, this means that you're signing up for this. You're saying, Jesus, God sent you into the world with His agenda, not your own agenda, His agenda. Now I'm going into the world to fulfill your agenda, Jesus. So folks, can you see how, How radically different that is to the modern idea of Christianity. The modern idea is, if I feel like it today, if there's nothing more important on, if there's no major sporting event I want to watch on TV or go, or know some rock star or concert or whatever gastspreker in the area of gunsteling kunstenaar wat in die dorp inkom, if none of that is on, then if I wake up in time, I will then go to church and I'll take this thing called Christianity and I'll supplement my life with it to improve my life so that things go better with me. That is so diametrically opposed to what Jesus actually came for and what Jesus is sending us into the world to do. God sent Jesus to die. God is sending us into the world, not yesterday, to die. He sent us into the world to die. You say, well, whoa, Moz, what are you saying? Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm just the messenger this morning. Let's take a look at what the scripture says. Now, even though it's scriptural to rely on the salvation and redemption of Jesus Christ, we're called for so much more than just ourselves. We're called for so much more than just ourselves. He came into this world to die. So you ask, well, what's God's agenda then? What is God's agenda? I'm going to give you a simple three-point agenda this morning. Is that okay? You think you're going to be able to remember three items on an agenda? Three items on God's agenda when Jesus says, I'm sending you into the world. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. He says that later in John 21. The first item on the agenda. Some of you, please, I know some of you, you like getting opportunities to speak. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak. I want you to tell me, what does John 3:16 say? Somebody shout it out. No, I haven't seen blah, blah, blah in the Bible. Somebody this side, what does John 3:16 say? Isn't it interesting when we put on the spot? For God so loved the world. Lots of folks know that. But how many folks know what 1 John 3:16 says? That's the first item on God's agenda. It reads as follows. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Great. That's John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So how many of you come to church with a concept of, I'm coming to church today to be equipped, to have my mind changed, to be ready so that I can go from Monday on in and lay down my life for other people? How many of you come to church with that in your mind? I'm so glad I'm speaking to honest people this morning. Very few of us think like that. I come to church because I've got all these issues which I want God to fix. And that's great. And it's wonderful. And it's beautiful. And he wants to do that. He wants you to come to him because he's your loving Heavenly Father. Somebody shout out, amen. Amen. But once he's fixed you, he wants you to go and lay down your life so that others can come to know the redemptive healing power of Jesus Christ through you lay down your life through sacrificial service. What a difference. And I already know by the Spirit of God, there's somebody here, you're thinking, Mozzie, you don't know what you're talking about, but I've got so much drama in my life. The last thing I can think of is somebody else. I know. But you trying to get your issues sorted out before thinking of others, how's that working for you? I'll wait. How's that working for you? You're going to have one thing fixed and there's going to be three more things in its place that need fixing. Or is it just me? Okay, so we're on the same planet this morning. You see, but when you, like Jesus, live for the betterment of others, when you help fulfill somebody else's dream, God will fulfill your dreams. We see that in the account of Job. It's guesstimated that it's probably the oldest book in the Bible. If you don't know the story of Job, he lost everything in one day. Health, wealth, possessions, family, friends, alles. He was a multimillionaire and he lost one day, all gone. And then some on top of that, God is sick as you can get. And only once he started praying for his friends did restoration start to take place in Job's life. Not when he started trying to regain everything that he'd lost. So the first item on God's agenda is laying down your lives for other people. In sacrificial service, doing our own special work. Remember those two phrases when we shared last week, the fasting, prayer and fasting topics from Ephesians 4 and verse 16? We spoke about, Lord, let's make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And find out what is my own special work. So that's what sacrificial service means. Make every effort and finding out what is your own special work to lay down your life so that others can come to know the Jesus that lives in you. Second item on the agenda. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I love that. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Because the devil is up to stuff. What's the devil up to? The devil is up to promoting a woke agenda. The devil is up to promoting gender confusion. The devil is up to promoting poverty. The devil is up to promoting hatred. The devil is up to promoting death and destruction. The devil is up to promoting division. The devil is up to, and I'm not on the devil he's up to, but God is up to as well. God is always, always up to something, and it's always, always something good. God never sleeps, he never slumbers, he's never caught off guard. There's no recession in heaven, there's no striking in heaven, there's no downtime in heaven. God is always up to something, and it's always up to something good. And the second item on the agenda is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 reads as follows. But when people keep on sinning, note there, when people keep on sinning, okay, it shows that they belong to the devil. How undiplomatic is that? How socially unacceptable is that? When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. The Bible says so. I'm judging nobody this morning. You belong to the devil who has been sinning from the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, in what ways can we destroy the works of the devil? How many of you would like to know? Can I see a show of hands this morning? Can the rest of you? But wanneer is van julle? Okay, maybe you're just here along for the ride. Well, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. In what way can we destroy the works of the devil? Here's how. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. Jesus says, and as you go, everybody say go. As you go, not as you wait for them to come to church, not as you wait for them to respond to an invitation, as you go. That means as you get up off your blessed assurance and step out into the world with a mindset of, I've freely received, I'm now freely going to give, and what I'm going to give is the good news. As you step out with that mindset, as you go, Jesus says, this is how you destroy the works of the devil. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. That's how you and I have been called to destroy the works of the devil. Last, have you raised somebody from the dead? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. You think, Mozzie, just be real. Okay, I'm being real. Have you started by praying for somebody that's sick? Good. Keep on. You say, Mozzie, ek te skaam om te doen. Okay. Volgende keer, as jy voor die spieël sit, en jy bekyk yourself in die spieël en jy het 'n hoofpyn, lay hand op yourself and bid for yourself. Hoofpyn, ek bestraf jou in die naam van Jesus Christus. Jy hoort nie hierso nie. By the blood of Jesus, I am healed. Get out. And if you want to, cup a pilliki, but don't. Because the best pull we need is the gospel. Practice like that. Folks, we start off small, isn't it? We start off small. How many of you do gym here? Robert, I'm not putting you on the spot, my boot. But op jy, as jy op jou beste, jy's reg, jy's jou mind is reg en jy het reg geëet, wat kan jy bench? Soos in die swaarste one rep. 110. Ach, jy lieg. You can do 150, man. He didn't start off benching 150. He started off with maybe 30. I don't know. He started off doing 30, then he could do 40, and. So when it comes to raising the dead, start with what God has given you in front of you. Now, start there. Does it make sense? We're called to do that. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Cast out demons. In the name of Jesus. Freely you've received, freely give. That's how we can go and destroy the works of the devil. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, it's interesting that the Bible tells us to baptize who? Let's read the word. What does it say? You were looking on the screen like, gooi die antwoord weer, gooi die antwoord weer. Baptizing, who must we baptize? Somebody. Baptizing who? Ah, Lord, help these people. Who's them, Shalane? Okay, I'm going to read it slowly. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Who must be discipled? Disciples. Why do I say that? Because daar's mense wat gedoop is en gedoop was en hulle is nie as disciples nie. All they've had is just gotten wet in water. That's a verskil. I chatted with it just quickly with Diane in front of you this morning. Some people have gone through a besprinkeling ding, a mensgemaakte besprinkeling ding. Is heeltemal onskriftelik. Niks te doen met jou saligheid nie. Cannot save you from nothing except maybe a dry forehead. And some people then have grown up and have been baptized in water, but they're not disciples. What do I mean by that? It means they've gone through a ceremony which somehow has given them peace of mind that they're okay with God, but deep inside their spirits, they've not made up their minds to be disciplined and discipled by the Holy Ghost. Huge difference. It teaches us that we must baptize disciples. A disciple, as somebody has said, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you tell me to do, whenever I must do it, and wherever it takes me. You see, now, when you look at it like that, folks, we can begin to understand why the scripture says, broad is the way that leads to destruction and hell. Many are they that find it, but narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. There are very, very few people that are willing to pay the ultimate price of discipleship. Very few people are willing to pay that price. Most people want to enjoy the lekkerheid van the broad and narrow. There's freedom of movement, ja, man. We can gaan aan, ons kan maak nes ons wil. Instead of saying, I'm fixing my eyes resolutely, flint-faced on Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, I'll keep my eyes on Jesus. We're called to baptize disciples. Huge difference. That's the second item on the agenda. Last item on the 3-point agenda. Are you learning something this morning? The third item, John 17 and verse 19. Jesus says this, and that's what I love about the Bible. You read it, you study it, you wait on God to speak to you, and it just keeps giving. It's the gift that keeps giving. John 17 and verse 19, Jesus says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So I want to see who was listening last week. I think it was the week before we spoke about, 2 weeks before that, about sanctification, what it means. Jesus says, I sanctify myself for their sakes. What does sanctification mean? Somebody speak to me. Please tell me you remember. Set apart, prepare. There we go. Hallelujah. You set apart for a specific purpose. And we looked at the concept that sanctification is a state that you need to stay in. It's not once it's done, it's always. No. It means you're continuously being separated, continuously for a specific purpose. So Jesus says, Lord, I sanctify myself for their sakes. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. He knew that he could say, remember he prayed, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was talking about the cup of responsibility that he had to drink. He knew that for the first time since forever, he's going to be separated from God because he's going to become sin for you and I. And he's going to pay the price for all of us. He knew that he had to set himself apart to be willing to do that. He knew that he had the choice to say, nah, weet je wat? Lord, God, it's not worth it. I mean, I come here to show love, and what do? They nail me to a cross. Like, really? Lord, they don't want to hear what I have to say. You know, they make all these claims when things are going well. They say, Lord, we'll never leave you. And then as soon as the pauper hits the fan, they bail out and they desert me. Lord, I'm not prepared to die for these folks. So let's just make another plan, like send a couple of angels. I'm out of here. No. He says, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Jesus is saying, I set myself apart to fulfill your agenda, God, for their sakes. And Jesus says, I'm sending you into the world. My brother, my sister, the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, if you're hearing this with your ears and you're perceiving it in your spirit, God is asking you, are you willing to sanctify yourself for the sake of others out there in the world who do not yet know Jesus? It's very, very quiet now. That means you're going to have to make some radical changes in your life. That means there are things that you really, really love and that you really, really enjoy that you're going to have to give up for the sake of being a vessel that carries the good news of Jesus Christ. That means when everybody that you know is doing one thing and it's lekker and it's good and you really would like to be part of that, you're going to have to sanctify yourself and be separate from that so that God can prepare you to go into the world and tell others about Jesus. Are you willing to do that? That means the majority of what you're spending your time on now, the majority of what you are spending your money on now, if it's not to do with the advancement of God's kingdom, you're going to have to make some changes so that you can sanctify yourself for the sake of others. It's getting even quieter in this church. Let's see if we can get a pin to drop. That means you're going to need to become like broken bread and poured out wine like Jesus was. That means this thing called Christianity, this thing called church membership, this thing called taking up CMA colors means that you're going to have to die to self for the betterment of others. It's very quiet because the Holy Spirit is convicting people here this morning. I believe we're coming to an understanding of what it means when Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples. My brother, my sister, God hasn't called me to be the most likable preacher on the planet. God hasn't called me to be popular amongst people. God hasn't called me to be your cup of tea or your favorite. I'm so glad he hasn't called me to that. God has called me to tell the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And it says the following. If you're not willing to do that, rather don't even put your hands to the plow. Do I sound like somebody that wants to preach a church full? It says, don't even put your hands to the plow then. Because if you put your hands to the plow and you decide, ach, nee wat, I'm not really into this anymore. The Bible says, Not me. The Bible says you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. But the good news is, but wait, there's more. If you phone now, the good news is, if you're unfit, what must you do about it? Some of you are going to say, I'm going to stay unfit. Bring thy chocolate cookies. If you're unfit, get fit. If you're unfit, get fit. So if you feel you're not fit for the kingdom of God, Jesus can fix us. Hallelujah. Jesus can change us. Jesus takes a mess like you and me so that our lives can be a message. Jesus takes broken vessels, people with issues. He takes the worst of the worst so that they can be used in his kingdom, so that the world can see that the excellency of this message is not of ourselves, but of him. So there's hope for all of us. God will use anybody that says, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. But we must count the costs, ladies and gentlemen. We have to count the costs. That's the third item on the agenda. For our sakes, let's sanctify ourselves for the sake of others. Jesus followed God's agenda and not his own. You know how easy it was for Jesus in the garden to have said, Lord, I've preached every sermon you've wanted me to preach, but this dying thing, let's just leave it for another plan. No. He said, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. He followed his father's agenda. I'm going to give you a very early example as we close this morning of people who chose to follow their own agenda and not God's. And the consequences were disastrous. You and I are, I nearly said living under the consequences. We're not, because we're under the power and blessing of Almighty God. But we have encountered, let's just say, we have encountered the consequences of these people that have chosen to follow their own agenda and not God's agenda. It's an early example. Rewind with me to the book of Genesis. You get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Genesis. I didn't say in which order. You just do get it like that. Genesis 11 and verse 4, the backdrop is, so God decided just to rearrange things quickly. He decided the earth is sif, it's fraught, I'm going to just rinse it a little bit. So earth got flooded. Just rinse it clean. And anything that breathes died, except a faithful few. Noah, his family, his sons, their wives, a couple of animals, insects. The fish weren't on the ark, they were in the waters. Birds, etc., they were all there. And the waters come and go, and life on earth starts again, and mankind starts populating again. And these oaks on a day decided, they make this decision to themselves, and they say the following. In Genesis 11 and verse 4, it says, come, let us build ourselves, everybody say ourselves. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, there's the word again, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. You see, there's a few problems there which I see. The problem was the focus on ourselves instead of God's agenda. Does that sound like 2025? Never before has mankind taken so many pictures of themselves. Come on, people. Somebody speak to me. Never before has mankind taken so many pictures of themselves. We go to the beach to enjoy the beach, but also to laugh at the people taking selfies. You must check it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. The focus was on themselves, much like it is today. And there's nothing wrong with taking a picture of yourself. Just don't, you're like, kiss me quick before I kiss myself. Don't think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. Did you get that? Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. These people, they didn't cop it. The problem, they focused on themselves. So, in what way are we following our own agenda in our life instead of God's agenda for our lives? So God confused their languages and it was maracas. Guess what? That confusion is still reigning supreme in the world today. As long as people are focused on self, there's confusion. Did you get that? As long as people are focused on self, there's confusion in every form. It's time we turn our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2 speaks of that. So they focused on self, and the rest is just disastrous. So, to help that, us put that into context as we close this morning, what I want to share with you is just one prayer request. One prayer request that I've got from one prayer associate from an organization called Mental Link. Mental Link is an organization whose ministry focus is on raising up Christ-like mentors for every leader. In every community, a leader, a Christ-like leader, and for every Christ-like leader, a Christ-like mentor. Okay? And I get weekly prayer requests from these guys, and we share prayer requests and stuff like that. And this is just the prayer request of just one of them, just one of these ministers that I'm going to share with you to help us put into context and have perspective on what God's agenda is for us. Listen to this. It's for a brother called Anatoly. He writes, last week, this was in 2024 when the prayer request came through. I'm sharing it with you this morning. Last week, we were able to encourage our fellow workers in the Lord at a mission consultation in the Sahel region of Burkina Faso. This region is situated in the far north of the country in an area of great insecurity. Access is only by air. From time to time, supplies for the local population are taken by truck under military escort. Think about that. You can't just stop in at a Steers and order yourself a King Steer burger. No, your food is to come to you under military escort if it does ever come. Are you beginning to see things in a different light, church? Food prices are exorbitant, way beyond the purchasing power of most. To get there by road, you have to take a long, very risky detour. And the prayer request is, ask the Lord to guide Anatoly. He asks for prayer. Guide Anatoly as he often ministers in areas where the threats of violence is very present. Pray for the church in Burkina Faso. Last year, that was 24, and this is the punchline, and then I'm done preaching. In one denomination alone, 163 churches were closed. 17 churches, the physical buildings, were destroyed. 37 Christians were killed, and 189 pastors had to abandon their places of ministry because of the persecution they're facing. God's three-point agenda, as we recap. It kind of puts the little issues that we deal with about Christians refusing to get along with each other because of lovelessness. It kind of puts it in a different light, isn't it? When this is happening. And on sit ons met ons issues. Nee, rarig. To recap, item number one on God's agenda. Lay down our lives, 1 John 3:16, in sacrificial service so that others can come to hear the good news. Item number two, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. How can we destroy the works of the devil? By fulfilling the Great Commission, preaching and teaching and telling till all know, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, praying for deliverance for people. And third, but by no means least, sanctifying yourselves. Setting yourself apart for God's agenda in your life. So as you sit here this morning, maybe you're at a place where you realize the items in your agenda are perhaps not 100% in line with God's agenda for your life. And you're at a place where the Holy Spirit has been speaking into your life and convicting you and saying, sure, Moz, that's a tall order. I know. But you can either live a life doing your own thing. All the best with that. I know some people that do it very, very well. And they're having a fantastic time now. They're having a great life now. But that's soon, very soon, going to end. God's encouragement to us is, you can live for instant gratification here and now, or you can live for eternal fulfillment and gratification with Him. The choice is yours. If you're at a place in your life where you know that your agenda items do not look at all like God's agenda items, you're in the right place this morning. If you want to say, Moz, I want to take my agenda, I want to frummel it up, I want to throw it aside, and I want God's agenda for my life, then I want you to pray with me this morning. Jesus, what an incredible sacrifice that you paid. The way that you've done it, so willingly, so freely, with a perfect example for us to copy. Thank you for that. Jesus, thank you that you died for me, that you shed your blood so that I can receive forgiveness for my sins, and best of all, that you rose again so that I can know I never need be anxious about something even as big as death. Because for you, not even death or the grave is an obstacle. And Jesus, you lived a life of being broken bread and poured out wine. And I'm in this place this morning, in the beginning of this year. And Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but I know I want a future that has you in it. I don't want to live another day. I don't want to do another thing if you're not in it, Lord. If there's something there that has nothing to do with you, I want nothing to do with that. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name, for pursuing my own agenda. Now in this moment, I lay my agenda down. And Lord, this is not an emotional thing because of a sermon I've heard. To myself as unto you, I'm making this commitment. I lay my agenda aside and I say, Lord, teach me your agenda for my life. Teach me and show me what it means to live a life that is sanctified. Teach me and show me what it means to be involved in sacrificial Christian service. Teach me and show me what it means to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, I can't do these things, and I know that. But you will enable me to, as I trust in you more and more each day. So as I sit here and pray, I ask, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, enable me and empower me to destroy the works of the devil. Enable me and empower me to live a life that is sanctified, set apart, for a specific purpose of telling others about your kingdom. And enable me and empower me to stick to this commitment, to live this out with each passing day. And God, I thank you that not if, but when I fail, thank you that there's grace. Thank you that there's forgiveness. Thank you that you'll pick me up, you'll dust me off, you'll put the pieces back together again so that I can continue for one more day in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Folks, if you have any particular prayer request this morning, if you've got an ache or a pain in your body or something that the doctors cannot fix, you've tried every form of medication that there is and you've never been prayed for before, and you'd love to be prayed for, I want you to come up to the front. There's nobody in this building, especially not me, that can cure you. But we serve the God who can. And we're going to be obedient to the scripture that says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you've got an ailment in your body, come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. If you have any other particular need in your life, any challenge that you've got, any confusion concerning your direction in life or something like that, please come up to the front straight away. We'd love to pray for you as well. I'd ask that the care group leaders and the altar workers, Leonard, there's a few of them that are available this morning. If the amount of people that come warranted, just make yourselves available, please, that people don't wait 45 minutes for me to pray for everyone. That you come and just pray with us. So if you have any particular need, what I'm asking before you go your way, please don't leave before you get us to pray with you. Like I said, none of us have an answer for you. We're just going to stand in agreement with you. We're not going to counsel you. We're going to pray together. We're going to share our faith with your faith so that you can get an answer from God. Is that okay this morning? Thank you for making the time to come for our visitors. I don't know where you are. I don't know which entrance you came in. I'm going to go and stand there so that if I don't recognize your face or remember you, I'm going to introduce myself to you. But if you visited with us for the first time, I trust that you had an encounter with a living God. Go and tell somebody about the good news for the rest. And all of you, thanks for your loyal faithfulness and commitment. Just a reminder to the care group leaders, as soon as we're done meeting and greeting the folks, we're just going to have a quick discussion in the children room outside. Until such time that we meet again, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly and know that you prayed for much. Have a Jesus-filled week. Cheers.